Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Well, we have in our first hour, we're going to talk about news, current events, commentary, prophecy worldview on all those things. And in the second hour, probably move more toward Bible prophecy. So questions, comments, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net /chat and join the conversation. Okay, first off, we have from the Babylon Bee. Let's try a little bit of maybe humor, if you want to call this humor. From the Babylon Bee, 10 famous college grads who prove how smart college makes you. You can see where this is going, right? Okay, first we have, number one, AOC, one of America's foremost intellectuals, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has knowledge, wit, and wisdom that is as deep as it is wide. Yeah, about that deep and about that wide. All thanks to her economics degree from Boston University. I hear this woman and, or I should say little girl, because she reminds me of a little girl, who's trying to pretend like she's all grown up. I think she won a contest and got chosen by some liberal group to be put up to run for Congress. And it shows. Now, this little girl cannot go away fast enough. But, you know, you can pray for people like that, because maybe she could see the light. Maybe she could see that there's something beyond whatever's making up her life at this time, and all of the things that she's being rewarded with for being an idiot and serving Satan and the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist, because that's exactly who she's serving. But God did say, come out of her, my people, and that's as applicable today as it was, 500 years ago, when it became very applicable, when the Roman Catholic Church was outed as being the great apostasy and the papacy as the seat of the man of sin. Anyway, David Hogg, I don't even know who David Hogg is. He's so smart, he knows guns are bad. Not everyone knows that. That Harvard education really paid off. The Unabomber. Another Harvard prodigy. Most people today don't know who the Unabomber is, because most people today haven't been around that long. Kamala Harris. Yes, the sweetheart of the left. In college, she learned all 12 of the words she uses in a speech. Yes, I've heard some of her speeches. All right, we got down to Kamala Harris, number four. Lex Luthor, thanks to his biomechanical engineering degree from Princeton, he gave Superman a real run for his money. What a guy. Yes. Everyone making your latte at Starbucks. Thanks to college, these bright young minds are probably the most educated people on Earth who have ever made coffee. Joy Bear studied sociology at Queens College, and it shows. Her brilliant insights on culture and the human condition are unmatched. Well, if you know who that is, that might make sense to you, and you might even chuckle at it, but I have no idea who this person is. The guy on the street corner with the sign saying, "We'll work for food." Every word of that sign is spelled correctly. And number nine, they have Judas Iscariot, the only disciple who went to Harvard. And then 10, Joe Biden, the smartest president who ever lived. Thanks, college. And he wants to treat all of his, I guess he's what you call alumni. And he wants to treat all the new college goers to having to free college and pay off all their college debts. Don't you want to go out work today just for that? Yeah. Thank you, Babylon B, for that. Let's see, what else do we have? Are you a fascist? 12 signs to look for. We'll have to save that one for later. See, hero. DeSantis flies Hurricane Ian to Martha's Vineyard. Okay. I think I like this one, though, here. Pelosi drafts articles of impeachment against new prime minister of Italy. Yeah, she dreams of it. She wishes for it. Like, she needs somebody to impeach. So, if she can't impeach Trump anymore, yeah, what did they impeach him? 2 times while he was president and once after he left the presidency. I mean, they're going to get more opportunity. Nancy's hanging on to, you know, by the skin of her teeth so that she can live long enough to impeach Trump again. Just 10 more times, whatever it takes. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Oh yeah, FBI storms convent to arrest group of dangerous pro-life extremists. Yeah, extremists. I think that's how they say it. Extremist. You're an extremist. I found out today that I'm a conspiracy. Oh, I found out yesterday that I was a conspiracy theorist. I didn't know all these years, but someone on Facebook finally let me know that, hey, man, you're a conspiracy theorist, so we're not going to listen to you. Right. Yeah, they let me back on Facebook a week or so ago. So anyway, I like to fish in any pond that's available. I will fish in it because I'm looking for the elect. Yes. Okay, let's see. NASA saves face by claiming female astronaut running spaceship into asteroids was intentional. I guess that's supposed to be funny. But didn't they shoot something? I thought I saw an article, but didn't pay any attention to what NASA's doing. I think they had scheduled a moonshot, but I hear they canceled it or postponed it. So we're still waiting for them to really go to the moon. That's right. I'm letting my conspiracy theorist face show here. Oh yes, we went to the moon, everybody. Believe it. Yeah, despite the impossibility of it and the impossibility of doing it again after we did it in the 1970s or 60s, going back to even further than that, the 1960s, when I was a mere teenager, they went to the moon. Yeah. No, they didn't. But, you know, I think I believed it at the time, but hey, I was just a stupid child. What did I know? I didn't question anything. I just believed everything practically that they told me. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Oh, that's not funny. Fascism experts somehow able to find fascism everywhere, except where it is. Speaking of fascism, here I got another email from YouTube, and here it is right here. Hi, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Yeah. We wanted to let you know that our team reviewed your content. Wow, they're reviewing my content. At least somebody's watching it on YouTube. But the shadow banning won't keep the YouTube content reviewers from reviewing your content. They'll keep everyone else from reviewing it, but not themselves. And we think it violates our misinformation policy. We know you may not have realized this was a violation of our policies, so we're not applying a strike to your channel. However, we have removed the following content from YouTube. And this video is The Things That Divide Us, Generations Radio. that we put up on YouTube probably 3 years ago or something. Yeah, we realize this may be disappointing news, but it's our job to make sure that YouTube is a safe place for all. But they gave me a strike on my, oh yeah, this YouTube channel. There it is. A strike. Let's see. No, September 25th. That was 3 days ago. I got a strike on my Prophecy Reality channel. Yeah. And what was the name of the YouTube video? Jesus on Socialism. So, well, they have, Marxist, Communist, Socialist, probably saw the title on the video and decided to watch it and probably was offended by it and reported it. You know, some Marxist, Communist, Socialist, fascist out there trolling the net, interested in Jesus on Socialism. And you've heard my view on Jesus and socialism. And it would be offensive to a Marxist because they'd know it's true, but it would offend them that other people could find out that it's true because all I'm doing is quoting the scripture. But it's not what they've heard from their experts on Jesus and socialism. So it must be misinformation, right? So they gave me a strike for that one. And I have two strikes on my Prophecy Reality channel. And that's why I'm not on YouTube live, because they like to strike me right away. And I have a lot of videos up there, but eventually this one they just gave me a strike on is like at least a year old, if not older. So it's been up there a long time. So if they're going to give me three strikes, which I have two already, all they have to do is pick or have some communists, socialists be offended by any of my other videos, which would be really easy. So they'll be ending my YouTube channels soon enough, I'm sure. And that's why I've moved all of our content is in the process of being moved for First Amendment Radio and being uploaded on Odyssey and Rumble. And let's see where else. Odyssey, Rumble. And, I guess that's, oh yeah, and BitChute. So we're putting everything on Odyssey, Rumble, and BitChute every day. And all of the series I'm repeating for Tom. And the reason I'm not broadcasting on First Amendment Radio channel on YouTube live or posting any more videos there is because I have actually literally thousands of hours of broadcasts up there from all of the series that Tom Press did over like 10 or 11 years are up there, and people are watching them. So, and some of these series, like the Global Vatican, has like 106 videos in the series, and there are people watching those. So I don't want to get a strike on there, but I'm sure it's going to be ended sooner or later anyway, but I need the time to put those videos on other venues. I'm trying to get them all in Odyssey, because that's the best place for to have a video list. The panoply of heads of state leaders at the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II highlighted the dire reality that there are at present no resolute statesmanlike leaders capable of reversing the accelerating decline throughout the whole of the Western world, thereby averting the very real possibility of a global conflict with an allied communist China and Russia. I've commented on this before. I think Russia and China are at the moment might be frenemies, but if you understand that new term frenemy, they might be frenemies, but they will never be friends. And they will never truly be allies, because Russia definitely knows that if they help China gain a foothold or conquer any part of the rest of the world, that they will be conquered themselves by China. So actually, I believe that Russia is one thing, is one of the many things that's keeping China at bay. And I believe that the Russians are not fools. Regardless of what Joe Biden and all his wisdom and eloquence wants you to believe, notwithstanding the president of Ukraine, the Russians are not fools. Yeah. The West, okay, this guy continues. This, who is this? Steve McCann? I don't know him. The West in particular, the United States, is currently populated with patronizing, oblivious, and callous leaders more concerned about themselves and globalism than the people and the future of their respective countries. Well, that is the absolute truth there. Nor do they acknowledge that Western civilization, because of its roots in Christianity, has increased freedom, wealth, health, comfort, and life expectancy to unprecedented levels throughout the world. Also true. They don't realize this because their evil eyes are blinded. They can't see the truth. They can't see that in tearing down the West that they hate, in tearing down Christian government that they hate, Christian ideals, and everything that made the West great, they're tearing down their own house. And when it falls, they will fall harder than anyone else. If only they could see that. If only their eyes were not so blinded, they could possibly see that. When virtually all Western nations pursue the same ruinous policies and their ruling classes have the same self-absorbed characteristics, decline and collapse from self-immolation is inevitable. In the debauched current state of Western civilization, the sole path of reversing this decline and collapse is for a tenacious and intrepid egalitarian leader from one of the major Western nations to assume the mantle of leadership. Well, he has to fight the Antichrist to do it, and his shadow government. And but I agree, and you know, we need that kind of leadership in America. It's rising up, as we can see from the Italian election. It's moving back in the other direction. And we had the joke about Nancy Pelosi drawing up articles of impeachment for the new Italian prime minister. Yeah. The only experienced and successful current or past leader with these attributes in the West today is Donald Trump. You know, that's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. I don't believe that he is the only experience, and his experience has not been good. It's been very bad. But that may be a good thing if he is genuinely, for bringing greatness back to America and putting America first. That experience could be very valuable in another run for the presidency. So if he's going to be the president, then I pray for his health, and I pray for his wisdom, and I pray for his soul too, that he could repent for the things that he's done wrong in his life. And I know he's already repented for some things, but whether his repentance before God is real can only be between him and God Almighty. And we can only live to observe and see if it's true or not. Okay, we'll continue this conversation when we get back from this break. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we are looking at current events in this first hour. And I want to say hi to those people who showed up in the chat room while I was engaged in the first hour. Let's see, Fireman Mike, Corp Raid. And see, I can't read that one there. Oh, Stephanie, Dale, and Tom W. Oh, and Stephen and Ellie are there. Oh, yes, I put something in there earlier. The people's platform should be to end all emergencies. Yeah, you understand what that means. It's like we're still under the war on drugs emergency has never been rescinded. So all emergencies need to be rescinded and revoke all executive orders. Now, that would be nice if we could do that in America. And how about this? Mandatory sentencing for all politicians who violate their oath of office. That would be something to see. And see, that should be done anyway. But these guys love to violate. Most of the politicians up there are violating their oath of office every day or attempting to legislate against the Constitution and the rights and liberties of the people, thereby violating their oath of office. Mandatory sentences. I mean, we like need violations depending on, you know, how severe the crime is deemed to be. You could have first, second, and third degree violations of your oath of office, and be able to bring charges up and implement mandatory sentences. They love to, Joe Biden, especially your president, all you liberals out there, that voted or wanted this guy or helped to cheat him into office, your pretender in chief out there. He had a great part in a lot of, putting a lot of people, especially minorities, in prison. Oh, also Kamala Harris. She, in California, man, she was really hard on minorities, which she's supposed to be black, but she's not. Give me a break. Anyway, let's continue the article where we left off before I get off too far on that rabbit trail there. But anyway, there's a good platform for any future elections. And I would like to see something like that take off and more, get a president that will stand on that. Come on, Donald Trump. End all emergencies, especially the last one that you started and hasn't ended yet. And revoke all executive orders. Boy, that would shed half the government right there. Everything that was begun by executive order being rebuked, like, just think, we could get rid of the FBI. We don't really need it, unless we want to keep on picking on nuns and families, men and families who got the case thrown out. And the case was thrown out against this guy, but they decided to go after him anyway. What? What kind of lawlessness has our country come to, where someone is vindicated? The case is thrown out against him, but the government decides, the administration, the Biden administration decides to go after him anyway. Wow. Oh, wow. And then instead of sending him a letter or, you know, sending him a subpoena to show up, they raid his house with 30 or 40 FBI agents in the middle of the night. Yeah, with guns a-blazing. What is the world coming to? Your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike.
Oh, it's good to hear from you.
Now, it's good to talk to you, too. I just wanted to say about these executive orders. They have... You're absolutely right what you're saying. Nobody gets this. An executive order should be limited to things like JFK allowing special forces in the U.S. Army to wear a green beret, as he did in the 60s.
Yeah.
Kind of
executive orders should be limited to the executive branch.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something used to circumvent the Constitution.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying about the people's platform. That would be wonderful.
Well, here's the problem is that the people individually have been incorporated into the federal government.
Yeah.
And the best evidence of that is your corporate number that ties you to the federal government.
No, it's out of hand. I don't know how we get it back, but I like that idea of the people's platform.
Well, we need to keep fighting, man. We never give up. That's whether we'll get it all back or not. All I can say is to keep it from totally overwhelming us. And I believe there's a chance on this continent to at least keep it from taking total control. Yeah.
Yep, I hope so, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you get back to it. I'm watching.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Okay, buddy.
All right, well, you heard it there. The phone does work, and Michael from Fireman Mike from Ohio proved it to us. But anyway, yeah. We need to, you know, on all your social media, just copy that there, that post. It's kind of gone down there now. There it is. The People's Platform. It's 2022, 2024, whatever year it is. This should always be the People's Platform, because by this platform, if we could get this enacted, we would retain a lot of our liberty that has been lost and perhaps have an end in having much of it restored, but that is to end all emergencies. And see, that would be a federal platform. But you could end them all in the states, because the states could declare all emergencies ended in their state, because the federal government really has no constitutional authority to do all of these things that it's doing. And revoke all executive orders. And all future executive orders should be limited to one, either the executive branch, which is a rightful place for an executive order coming out of the executive branch, or the presidency, because he is the chief executive of the executive branch of government. And that's all executive orders were supposed to be for. But it all started really with Abraham Lincoln, who exceeded the authority of the executive branch by using the executive order to make war on some of the states, the ones that wouldn't go along with his agenda. And, you know, people, well, now they'll call me racist for saying that, but it wasn't about racism and it wasn't about slavery. That was secondary, and that was something that Lincoln used to further his agenda. And that can be evidenced by any slaves in the North were not freed until after the slaves in the South were freed. Yeah. And slavery was going away on its own already. It was already happening. It would have happened regardless. We didn't have to destroy the nation and kill 400,000 or 500,000 America's fathers and sons, 99% of whom never owned a slave. There you go. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Where else? Oh, we were in this article here. In the debauched current state of Western civilization, the sole path of reversing this decline and collapse is for the tenacious for a tenacious and intrepid egalitarian leader from one of the major Western nations to assume the mantle of leadership. If we get Donald Trump in as president again, will he have learned the lessons from all of his failures and be able to take the reins of Washington, D.C. and the federal government and really clean the swamp? I don't know. What other hope do we have? We can send Ron DeSantis in there who has, well, he has some experience in executive government in his own state. At least he has that much experience. Donald Trump had none. I believe he was overwhelmed. He thought he could go there and do what he wants, but that swamp is the deepest swamp probably in the 50 states. Is the swamp in Washington, D.C. For him to think he could go in there and the whole swamp against him, I mean, his own swamp that he was in, ran two impeachment sessions on him and then ran another one after he left office. That's what he was up against. Will it be different again? Well, we can only live and see. I would hope that someone better could come up than Trump, without all of the baggage of Trump, and know what to do and have learned all the lessons of Trump, and be able to go in there and perhaps even with Trump as someone who could help out in a way, to give him advice on the traps and the pitfalls and all of the swamp creatures that are hidden everywhere. It doesn't sound like an easy job to me. Anyway, so this guy thinks that it should be Trump. I'll just keep praying. We'll see. But all I can say is we will not give in. We will resist till the very end. And that end will be when Christ returns. All right, let's see. What else do we have in our bag here? John MacArthur's grace to you this week. He speaks to executive orders as the same as the Israelites wanting a king, he says, and I agree, this is America's wanting a king versus following God's law or the Constitution. Ah, yeah, it does seem that way. I agree with you, Tom, on that one. Because when they raised Trump up and almost to an idol and a cult pitch, that is wrong, and that is king-making rather than, wanting the rule of law and the government of God to shine in our nation. So, but it's, that's the human condition. That's what we have to expect from the world out there. And so that's what we have. The Red King or the Blue King. And that's basically all we're going to get is probably the best king. The only thing really we can do individually is repent and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to work that repentance and be that example and pray for our family, our city, for our family, our extended family, our city and our nation. And, That's all we can do. And the only way we could get to the point where, the point we really would like to see is that, if we had some kind of national repentance, but it all begins with us individually. So we have to do that. And, and I would like to believe that most of the listeners of First Amendment Radio would be doing that, or else why would they be here? Yeah. I don't believe that people who are not interested in repentance can stomach First Amendment Radio very long. Your name and where are you calling from?
Eric from Indiana.
Hey, Eric?
Hey, you was talking about Abe.
Ah, Abe Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
So I got a little thing about him. He gave us the syringe that we know nowadays as the facts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was, I watch another channel on YouTube. It's called Enter the Stars. And he does some breakdowns. Man, he's had some really, really good revelations that points all this that we're going through right now in this country.
Uh-huh.
From speed. It's all pointed to exactly what's going on. It's so many lies on top of lies. You know, like you and Farmer and Mike were just talking about the Constitution and all that stuff. You know, do we vote? Obviously, voting ain't doing nothing, right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of insane. Wow, what happened to my sound went up there. Anyway, yeah, it's insanity to expect some different to happen from voting than has already happened from voting.
Exactly. It's done and over with. We got to go a different route. So definitely that platform 2024, people's platform, that is a good idea. How many people can we actually get behind it, you know?
Well, you have to fight against the whole social construct out there, and the social agenda is not for us. But as I said, you know, without repentance on an individual basis, we're really going nowhere anyway. Unless,
Cool. I just wanted to call and let you know about that, and just make sure the phone still works.
All right.
Take it easy. I'm watching.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Bye. Hey, that's two calls in one day, and I noticed my volume went up there from my mic, which is kind of weird. Been working on this volume problem here. Let me pull this down a little bit. But then the sound of the phone doesn't come in as high. But my mic seems to be working really good today, watching my monitors over here. Okay, let's see, what do we got? And where was I? Okay, we read that Donald Trump and the future of Western civilization. Is the transgender fad a triumph of marketing? Well, it's more than that. It's a triumph of fascist, Marxist education system. And I believe that, God's people especially need to take their children out of public schools. I can't believe that any conscientious Bible believing Christian can send their children to public schools and still send them to public schools, knowing what's going on with what has been seen publicly, during the, so-called plandemic, or so-called pandemic, but it was a planned demic. Okay. Is the EU's establishment trembling? Well, apart from the EU's establishment and the international leftist community, no one should be more worried about Italy's next government. Yeah, Italy turned a page of European history on Sunday. Unfortunately, he was wrong in adding that Italy's elected hard-right coalition. In fact, the winning coalition led by Giorgia Meloni is a center-right one. But this kind of misunderstanding perfectly reflects the way liberals and the mainstream media change the meaning of words to suit their own narrative and agenda. Meloni, for her part, describes her and her Fratelli d'Italia party, Brothers of Italy, a name that echoes the first line of the Italian national anthem, as conservative. There's no doubt that our values are conservative ones, she told the Washington Post. The issue of individual freedom, private enterprise and economy, educational freedom, the centrality of family and its role in our society, the protection of borders from unchecked immigration, the defense of the Italian national identity, these are the matters that we preoccupy ourselves with. Of course, she's very firm on her beliefs and principles, as she said at CPAC 2022. And, okay, so there's an article there, American Thinker. and more on the the more opinion on what's happening over there in Italy. And we have to remember that's also the seat of the Antichrist and his Vatican over there. But we have a seat for the Vatican over here. It's called Washington, D.C. And the seat of the Vatican in Washington, D.C. is Georgetown University, from which a lot of the legislation that gets passed in Washington, D.C., probably a bulk of it, ends up and is finalized at Georgetown University. Brings to mind the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act that they passed after 9/11, came directly out of the Georgetown University. So let's see what else we have here in the way of news. China's aggression against Taiwan shows fear, not strength. A meeting in New York last week between China's foreign minister and Henry Kissinger is a good reminder that China's territorial ambitions are at odds with history. Every time it lets liberty creep in, its economy has improved. Whenever it cracks down on liberty, the economy weakens. Even if China uses force to take Taiwan, it will be killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Yeah, they see the golden egg over there that is free Taiwan, and they will kill it. The Republic of China, in 1949, after Mao Zedong's communist forces won the war against the nationalists, Chiang Kai-shek, who had been president of the Republic of China since 1928, went into exile in Taiwan. He led independent Taiwan from 1949 until his death in 1975. Hong Kong, thank you for that. Yes, that's right. That's what they did in Hong Kong. And what happened in Hong Kong will be repeated in Taiwan if they take it. And they could easily take it. And who would stop them? Will America, the threat of America? I don't know. I tend to agree with this author here that their aggression against Taiwan shows fear and not strength. So I think there's something to that. The climate crisis. The only climate crisis going on right now is in Florida. It's called weather, right? It's like global warming. You know, wherever the sun shines, it warms up the globe, which currently is happening right here. We're just going through our last heat wave of the season here in California. We hit 98 and 99 degrees for the last 2 days. I didn't think we'd see 100 again, but we nearly got there. But it looks like we're done with hundreds and probably the high 90s for the rest of this year until next season. But that's my commentary on the climate and the climate crisis is weather. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I'm Nicholas. And, well, I'd like to talk about just about anything. I did publish, I think I announced it last week, that I did publish all three of my last three books in one volume on Lulu Press, and I believe that's... And I titled it The Revelation Enigma Decoded, but it has all three of my last three books in one volume. And that is book one is The Beast Apocalyptic. Book two is an exposition of the revelation. And book three is The Millennium Question. It's about 450 pages altogether, but I'm asking the price on it at Lulu Press is $26.25. So I'm sure you can get it for like delivered for under $30. But that's cheaper than buying all three volumes as three separate books like I have here in my hand. But they do all add up to about 450 pages. But basically what I did is I took each book and put them in that order. That they're listed on the cover there and put them in one book. So you can read the three books and I put them in the order I think they should be written, because I think that before you, read an exposition of the revelation, you should read The Beast Apocalyptic, the subtitle being An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. Key to understanding the revelation is understanding those symbols before you get into the revelation. Otherwise, you're reading about beasts and women and whores and stars and symbols that really are kind of nonsensical unless you have some kind of background. So this book here, The Beast Apocalyptic, is indispensable. There's not another book like this anywhere. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had to write it. Okay. There was a great need for this book that I've written here. And like I said, you can buy it in these three volumes here that you can see here on this page at lulupress.com. Yeah. Anyway, let's see, I'll put a link in the chat room in case anyone's interested. And I've only published this on Lulu Press at this time. So the 3-in-1 volume is not available at Amazon. So, but it is available there. I'm just doing this to see and only advertising it here on, Prophecy Reality and First Amendment Radio. I need to write an ad for it and run it during the daytime, but just to see how little my marketing strength is, which is not very much. I am not a marketer. I'm not a businessman. I like to work, and I do, and the work I do, I think I do very well, but when it comes to marketing and social media and all that stuff, I am sorely lacking. I admit that. Let's see. Will the links stay in the chat till I get home? Oh, will the links stay in the chat? Yeah, the links. I think this chat room holds like a certain number of chats in it. So it depends on how many people. But I'll post it on the website when I post this program later today, like later in the afternoon with all the other work I have to do. I'll make sure that a link is on the post when I post this broadcast later today. So for whoever asked that, yes, Dale. So you can take care of it. Take it there or click on it right now and save it in a tab or something. But yeah. And then of course, that's the first book. And the next one is an exposition of the Revelation. And that is In the View of Reformed Premillennial Historicism for the 21st Century. And you'll find in this that I use E.B. Eliot, I use Matthew Henry. Those are the two main that I go to. Of course, then I would be number three in the people whose exposition is used in that book, and then many, many others. So there's a lot of other stuff in there, but it's a complete exposition expressly on the Revelation itself. The book has 22 chapters, okay, in it. And you wonder why are there 22 chapters in that book? It's because that's how many chapters are in the Revelation. So there's 22 chapters, one for each chapter of the Bible. Of course, there's an introduction, and the introduction is like 18 pages, the author's introduction to method of interpretation. But then we get into it each chapter on each chapter of the Bible, 22 chapters, very fitting, an exposition of the Revelation in the view of Reformed Premillennial Historicism for the 21st Century. You'll get an overview, not an in-depth, for a book that's 200 or just a little over 200 pages. I didn't want to make it too lengthy. I did not want to write the Jorge Apocalypticae, in other words. So you'll get an overview. And then, of course, the third book, after I wrote those two books, then I found the need for the third book, The Millennium Question, which I answer to. Hold on a second. Well, here's one book I answer to is A Case for Amillennialism by Kim Riddlebarger. Also, there's Sam Storm's Kingdom Come, and I answer Sam Storm and Kim Riddlebarger directly in this book, as well as I have a chapter on Augustine in here. So I try to cover everything that I can, and you know, I don't spend a lot of time meandering off into a lot of nonsense and superfluous rantings and ravings that you'll usually find in prophecy books. I don't want to waste your time or my time. So this book is only 127 pages, but it cuts to the chase on every aspect of the millennium question, okay? I say a few words about post-millennialism, because it's when you answer amillennialism and all the other detractors, it answers everything against post-millennialism also. Because actually Augustine's amillennialism would be today's post-millennialism. So they're very closely related. But the fact is they deny that Christ will come back bodily and reign for 1,000 years. And that's what we take care of. So this is the Millennium Question, an apology for the Killism of the primitive church. Yeah. So make sure you take advantage of that. If you've only got one of these books so far, but you haven't got the other two, you might as well buy the trilogy set, because it'll cost you about the same as buying the other two books and adding them your library, but go whichever way you want. I don't have a copy of the trilogy one myself, but because I already have copies of everything. Not only that, I wrote the book, so I know what's in them. But anyway, I want everyone to take advantage of that. And if anyone has any questions about any of that, Stephen says, yes, thank you. These last 2 years of studying prophecy have been a blessing, and your books have helped exceedingly. I'm glad you appreciate that, Stephen. And Ty will, yes, Dale's having a problem with his keyboard. Oh, I will get and leave a review. I think, hey, it's that pretty good at deciphering stuff. Says, I will get it and leave a review. I'll appreciate that. But leave the reviews at Amazon, because that's where everyone goes for reviews. No one leaves or reads reviews at Lulu, unfortunately, or very few people do. But yeah, Amazon's the place to leave a review, if you're going to leave a review at all. So I would appreciate that. I am sorely lacking reviews, because I'm sorely lacking readers. But, you know, that's all in God's hands. Like I said, I'm not a marketing expert, and I don't have a marketing expert over here at First Amendment Radio. If I did, things might change, but, God hasn't sent me one, and, I have enough to do. So, I do way too much already for everything that needs to be done between all the book writing, studying, reading, and running First Amendment Radio and prophecy reality that I do. Yeah. Okay. No prophecy questions. I think I've answered everybody's questions, so I guess have to, I had an article that I wanted to comment on, but I couldn't find it because I had to restart my computer and lost it. So that was going to fill up my second hour. And the way my brain works and how distracted I am with so many things, it's very difficult to go off the cuff very well without some prompting. So I guess we better go back to the mailbag and see what I got starred here. Let's see. Let me click on starred, because I have some things starred that I wanted to comment on. Let's see. Oh, Greg Anthony is considering coming back. October, he says. So I told him, well, send me a program first, and then I'll think about scheduling it in. Because he says he wants to pre-record them. So I'm not doing anything, Greg, until you send me a program. Then he says he wants to do some live, too. I don't know. I think if anyone's in contact, Greg, go to his website and either encourage him or tell him to get in the wind. Because he either needs to come back full steam and get with it, you know, kind of do a program like he used to do back in the day. Not this stuff he's been giving me lately when he's, you know, this half-hearted stuff. It's just not cutting it, man, and it's not worth my time. So if you want Greg Anthony back, GregAnthony.wordpress.com. I think that's it. Let me check that out. I got a link to it here somewhere. Maybe I don't have a link to it. Or maybe it's off here on my, let's see, where is that at? I think it's GregAnthony.wordpress.com, if I remember correctly, for Greg Anthony's website. But I used to have a link up here, and looks like the link is gone. Okay, I must have got rid of it for non-use. But anyway, someone can check that out if you know Greg Anthony's website. I think it's on my YouTube page. If you go to my YouTube page, it's on the information below every YouTube. There's a link to his page, because I haven't kept up with that either. So, and encourage him or discourage him, one or the other. Please, could use your help on that. Okay, let's see what else I got here. Oh, yeah, I followed this YouTube video, and I thought this was interesting. I really like the words. Anyway, so you get the idea. I like the sound of it, and the words are straight out of the Revelation. So anyway, you got the link there. I hope you'll enjoy it. I do wish that it seems like this guy just did this one song, but maybe he could be encouraged to do more. But anyway, I enjoyed that. Okay, let's see what else I've got in the starred list here. Give you a little more insight to kind of like the style. Anyway, Christianity soon to be a minority faith in America. Chuck Baldwin. And here's one on Pope Francis. Diplomacy of Dialogue. I get the Religious News Service. It's terrible news. They're terribly liberal. And so it's pretty bad, but they do have articles and keep up on the religion of the day, I guess. And Pope Francis is doing as the scripture describes that this woman, the Catholic Church, is described as a woman in the Revelation, as the whore that rides the beast, because she fornicates with the governments of the earth. See, the church is not supposed to fornicate with the government. And that's why Protestants pretty much stay away from the government. Now, they'll influence government. You can have Protestants and Christians in government, but you can't be the government, okay? And you can't try to rule the world, but the Catholic Church does that because it is a power unto itself. It has its own nation status in the world, And so they have diplomacy with all of the nations of the world. And of course, they have to compromise because of that. And it's that compromise, I believe, that the Bible calls fornication and that describes the papacy. So is Pope Francis's diplomacy of dialogue failing? And I found the article interesting, but I didn't think it was interesting enough really to read, but more to just talk about a little bit. But he's having troubles right now. See, because the problem with, of course, with the Vatican is they can't control everybody. So they have nations that go rogue on them. And so whoever the New World global elite, okay, read the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, whoever they're turning against are the ones that won't go along with the Vatican and its shadow government and its agenda for globalization, because she wants to rule the whole world. Yeah. So, and whoever won't go along, like, that's why they're all turning on Russia right now. And because if you read this article, you'll read how the Vatican is having troubles with Russia, and they say even in China right now, but not so much in China, because though the Xi Jinping really doesn't even want to talk to the Pope, because he doesn't. I believe that the country, that China is like nearly fully in the grasp of the Vatican shadow government or the Jesuits. But individuals can shun the Pope like Trump did. The Vatican hated Trump, and you can see how they unleashed the hounds of hell in Washington, D.C. against Donald Trump just because he wanted to make America great and focus on bringing, you know, the greatness that he grew up and experienced in America. He realized that it was being lost and decided to turn against globalism, but it was a losing battle for him. In the end, they overtook him and tripped him up. Or maybe he succumbed to them or surrendered to them. Or maybe he was in bed with them all along. I don't know. I don't know Donald Trump's heart. But we've already had that discussion. So this is the great harlot and her ambassador to the world, Jorge Bergoglio. So if you have religionnews.com, that's where you find this. But I warn you that it's good to keep up on news, but they are very liberal and very New World Order-ish. they keep asking me to support them, but no, I wouldn't give them support. I use them for opposition research. See, you see some of the articles they have over Orthodox Church in the Hamptons calls people with autism part of our community. These are the kind of articles they have. LGBTQ friendly church okay with getting Southern Baptist boot. Yeah. And they're okay with it too, Religion News is. In hometown of St. Francis of Assisi, Pope touts racial criticism of capitalism, or radical criticism. Yeah. So you can see, and they're all for it. Okay, we're going to go into a break here, and we'll come back with our final segment on prophecy reality. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, late for my own broadcast, huh? Okay, well, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Okay, I found this article, and I was going to discuss my the book that I just finished the Audible on, and that was The Abraham Accord, which was a rewrite of this book here, When the Third Temple is Built. And I've been finding out that a lot of people are upset when they read this book. It really upset some people. And it really didn't write it to upset them. I wrote it to clarify the historical position from the church, you know, before about 1830 when the pre-trib rapture was made up, and people have bought into that wholly since then, and having to do with a third temple being built. And I did find this article here it's called Is a Third Temple Predicted in the Scripture? And, well, the simple answer is yes, and that's the end of it, right? Well, no, that isn't the end of it. This author says, the simple answer is actually something that dispensationalists and amillennialists may agree on, but certainly not the details. Yeah, so they'll agree that yes, there is a third temple described in the scripture, but they wouldn't agree on the details anyway. And that's why people get upset, you know, especially pre-tribbers get upset when they read this book. But like I said, I didn't write it to upset anybody. Hey, so he says the answer may surprise you. Well, we'll see. A messianic temple certainly is predicted or spoken about in Zechariah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. It's just not the temple all the futurists think it is. The second temple was unique in that God's Spirit never manifestly fell upon it, unlike the first temple and tabernacle before it. The Jews expected the Messiah to build the temple so that God's presence would dwell with them once more. They expected and taught that it would look a certain way, with a physical structure on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. Did God fulfill his promise? Yes, just not in a way they expected, as evidenced by their struggle to believe. God's presence did return to a mobile tabernacle. Jesus said he was the temple. The Spirit manifestly fell on him at his baptism. He was the connection from earth to heaven, and the heaven and earth place where God's presence was dwelling with his people. He was the place where one could find cleansing, healing, and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Did it happen? Of course, yes. So there we have it. God did not dwell in the second temple like he did in the first temple. And this left the Jews very unhappy. So will there be a third temple? And I think that really was the question of the article. Is a third temple predicted in the scripture? Well, we have a second. And is he saying that Jesus was the third temple? Well, are we talking about a physical temple? We know that the church is the temple of God. Is it the third temple? Or would that make the church the fourth temple, according to this guy's thesis here? So, well, let's read on. The body of Christ is the temple. It is the New Testament temple. And I've said that over and over. That's what I explicitly express in this book. And I keep telling people on that the revelation, because they say, oh, look, for chapter 11 to be true of the revelation, it says to measure the temple, and there has to be a temple to measure. But it's not, the church wasn't written to, I mean, the revelation is not a Jewish prophecy written to Jews about the temple in Jerusalem. But anything regarding the temple is to be applied to God's church. His people are his temple. So the body of Christ is the temple. His body was raised from the grave after 3 days. And so when we say the body of Christ, we think of us, God's church. Now he's writing about the body of Christ is the temple. His body was raised from the grave after three days as promised. Now all those who believed in him are placed in Christ in his body through the Spirit. And yes, that's why the bread and the blood type in the Lord's Supper. We have the bread and the blood type where we consume his body and we drink his blood, spiritually speaking. We are spiritually, we spiritually become part of his body. So we are the church. The church is the third temple, is what he's saying. And I believe that's why there will not be a third temple built in Jerusalem until after, but it will not be, it won't be like the old temple. And if they do, I think they will attempt, and they're attempting right now, to build a third temple. But I think as far as they're going to get is like with the Abraham Accord, what they've already done in Abu Dhabi. They've already, I believe this year is the year they're completing. Yeah, I believe they probably already completed it. The Abraham Accord structure in Abu Dhabi, which they want to now bring to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Will they do it? Yes. But will it be a third temple? No. It's a totally different thing, what they're going to build there. They're going to start out thinking that they're going to build a third temple, and then they're going to put away the addition or the function of having animal sacrifice in it, because that would be anathema to other religious faiths, to other Abrahamic religious faiths that are there in as part of that Abraham Accord structure, or three faiths being brought together. That would be inimical to the Catholic Church, who cannot have a blood sacrifice because they already have their sacrifice. And of course, then Islam is not going to accept a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and animal sacrifices going on the Temple Mount either. So they'll have to say that, they'll have to do their animal sacrifice off-site, as they did when they had a mobile tabernacle in the wilderness. Yeah, because the tabernacle was a tent. So they could do it off-site, and that's probably going to be what they're going to have to come up with in order to complete the Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount. Because obviously they're getting nothing so far. So will they make those compromises? Absolutely. And then when they make that compromise, then all the futurists are going to go, yes, look, they put an end to the sacrifice of oblation in the midst of the week, right? the 7-year period that they were looking for when they start the Abraham Accord building, and they start building a Jewish so-called temple, but it will not be a temple on par with the past tabernacle and temple of Solomon, or even the one that became Herod's temple after he renovated the second temple. Well, let's read on. For those who still think Ezekiel's temple is the blueprint for the real physical structure, you might consider how you would build something that's described in two-dimensional terms. We're told that length and width of the temple structures, but not the height. Like the visions of the Valley of Dry Bones and Gog and Magog that precede the temple vision. This is figurative language to point to real literal truths. We find the same kind of language in the New Testament. This temple, the church, is built by the Messiah, wherein he is the chief cornerstone, and every believer is like a living stone. Holy temple, builded together for habitation of God, is a temple not made with hands, is a heaven-earth place where the Spirit of God dwells, and the place where God meets with his people. It's why believers are described as being seated with Christ in heaven, and where we have presently come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. In Christ we have access to God in a greater way than even Moses and Elijah, where we can come boldly into God's very throne to find help, our help in time of need. And all of this is absolutely true. Now, the futurists accept this reality, but they say there's going to be another temple because an Antichrist has to come and sit in it. Okay? And of course, they have to have an animal sacrifice. That's why they're all excited about the red heifer. And I'm saying they're going to build a building there. They're going to call it a temple, but they're not going to be allowed to have an animal sacrifice in it. That's the reality. And I could be wrong because I see it developing, and that's what I see developing with the Abraham Accord. They're not going to have any animal sacrifice in Abu Dhabi, okay? And they're just going to put that model on the so-called Temple Mount of Jerusalem, okay? So it is why Jesus told people believed in him that they would have a well, river of water flowing out of them, bringing life, okay? And all of this is true. This is all a reality of today. I accept all of this as a reality, and I accept that this as the temple being spoken of in Revelation chapter 11, that the temple is the church, and everything that is applicable to the Jewish, that is given to us in Jewish symbols, is applicable to the church counterpart, because they are only symbols, and they are obviously and expressly symbolic, especially in chapter 11. Is expressly a symbolic prophecy, and all of the symbols there being used there are expressly given to us what the interpretation of them are. So, this author continues. It's why Jesus said people will no longer go to earthly Jerusalem or a particular place to worship, but rather people will worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Where does Ezekiel say the temple is located? The name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. Ezekiel 48:35. In what city does the temple of God exist today? It's not a singular location, but the Lord is there. The glory of the Lord is beginning to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. All very good. All very good theologically. We will go back to the old shadows and types of inferiors. Will we go back to the old shadows and types of inferior sacrifices? Not at all. I'm in total agreement. Will we go back to old shadows and types and inferior sacrifices? Not at all. This makes me even think about the reason that Tom Press left First Amendment Radio, because he wanted to go back to the type and shadow of the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath that Jesus and the New Testament teaches us about. He wanted to go back to the old shadows and types. And so we have a big problem as human beings. We think we need to do something for our salvation. We need to feel right about it because we struggle with sin all of our days. No matter how long we walk with Christ, we still have this sinful flesh, but Paul expressed it clearly when he said, "It is no longer I who sin, but sin that dwelleth in me." And we don't use that expression as an excuse to sin. We use it because it's a reality that we have to deal with, even though our heart says, "I desire to never sin again. I desire that I would never even be tempted to sin again. I desire that all traces of sin and images of sin and remembrance of sin could be erased from my mind." But God is not granting that to us. The reality is that we have to deal with it. And so we have these temptations that we must do something. And we must do something. But it's not to return to the old shadows and types. It is to walk in the Spirit and to walk humbly with our God. And part of that humble walking is saying, "I, no matter how hard I try, I can never do it. I have to rely solely and completely on the blood of the Lamb." Yeah. Because every time I think that I might be good enough, I am humbled to accept the fact that I will never be good enough until He changes me, and it will be Him that does it and not me. And that's where our Reformed theology brings us. So anyway, to continue the article here, we have something far better. But are there still sacrifices in the temple of God today? Yes, an array of spiritual sacrifices, including our praise, thanks, and committing our lives to Him. Yeah, amen and amen and amen to all of that. This is a pretty good article. I will, let me see if I can put that in the chat room. In fact, Paul uses priestly temple language to describe his own work among the Gentiles. Paul was not a Levite and thus not qualified as a priest under the Old Covenant. Nevertheless, Paul describes bringing Gentile believers as his offering, being sanctified and acceptable by the Holy Spirit. This is in fulfillment of Isaiah 66:18-21, where Jews are sent out of Jerusalem to the nations to bring back believing Gentiles as an offering unto the house, the temple of the Lord. I like this. This article's good. Likewise, Isaiah 66, 21, 56, 1 through 8 describes eunuchs, strangers, Samaritans, and Gentiles as not only having access to God's house, but they are made priests and Levites to make offerings. None of these groups even had access to God's temple under the Old Covenant, let alone being made a priest. Notice in Acts what happens when believing Jews take the gospel outside of Jerusalem. A eunuch and Samaritans get saved and are brought into the church, into the temple. Do you think Luke and God are trying to tell us something? Absolutely. And we even read in the Old Testament that there are Gentiles who were placed in the lineage, the very lineage of Christ Himself. So we see that God has always grafted in people from the nations into the church, but those were people who believed, who were after the God of Israel, the God of the universe. Yeah. And they were after His salvation and would come under the covenant, covering of the blood of His Messiah to come. Today, there are Jews who are wanting to build a new physical temple, still in rejection of Christ. And absolutely, that's the truth. Whether or not that happens, Christians are part of and have access to a greater temple. In fact, Christians are made priests in this temple and have unprecedented access to God. Instead of being distracted by those who are antichrist, get busy with the temple you have, and that will last forever. Yeah. And that's very good advice. And I can find nothing in this article that I can disagree with. And so I'm going to read it again after I get off air here. And this is from the guy's name is Scott Clem. And he wrote this on a Facebook group site. So, very good. One I have to reread and look at every verse on, but definitely worth checking into. I'll post that link after I get off the air here. But, you know, this is our focus. And though I spent a lot of time on prophecy, because there's so much errant prophecy out there that is so obviously errant if you spend any time at all searching God's word, like the pre-tribulation rapture and amillennialism, both in error, but both having much correct in their theology and their understanding of Scripture. So I don't question the salvation of these people. It's just that they really, like most people, don't have the time and will not take the time, because I look at how much time it took me since I really dove in deep around 2005 and spent a lot of time reading a lot and looking at everything I could and still do to come to the historical conclusion that I've come to, and going all the way back to the very beginning and searching everything out to come to the conclusions I have come to. But still, that knowledge doesn't save us. There's only one thing that saves us, and that is our walk with Christ and becoming, as this man so clearly writes in this article, that living sacrifice, giving our life a sacrifice every day. Unless Christ is the most important thing in your life, I don't know how anything could be more important. I can't conceive of my life where anything is more important than Christ and living for Him, keeping my eye, like as Paul said, on the prize, and the prize is eternal life. My motivation is overwhelming. I can't get around it or over it or by it or ignore it. I must have that prize, and I will lay down my life for that prize. It's like Christ expressed about the guy who found a treasure in a field. And, you know, the guy was a good guy. He could have gone, I guess, and stole the treasure stealthily, dug it up at night to steal the treasure, but no. Okay? He wasn't going to steal the treasure. He's going to buy the field to obtain the treasure. So he sold everything he had so that he could buy that field and obtain that treasure. Yeah. He sold everything he had. That's your life. Everything you have. You give everything you have for that treasure. And that's why I tell people to cross the border into the kingdom of God. There's nothing more important than gaining eternal life. Cross the border and live forever. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel that narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.